Today, we are finishing our final part of our series of vision, integrity, boldness, and today it's all about evangelism. And so I don't know if you knew this, but VIBE stands for something, and it's vision, integrity, boldness, and today it will be evangelism. So before we get into it, let's pray just for a moment. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us and enable us. And we just pray, Jesus, speak to us. Let us not be the same anymore. Let us be changed and transformed and renewed by your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So today is all about evangelism. And I'm not sure what you think about when you think of that word, but you might go, this is really long. Like, what on earth does that mean? And I think a simple way to get your head around evangelism is the process of sharing the good news of Jesus. Like, literally, this is why we're here. For Christians, this is really the heart of everything that we do. You come to faith in Jesus, you give your life to him, and then you begin to live a life after him, which is to become like him, which is to do the same things that he did, which is to go into all the world and tell people the good news of Jesus. And yet sometimes as Christians, we forget this. Or sometimes as men and women of faith, we forget this. We start to become about our own lives and the problems that we face and the issues that we go through. And we forget that one of the biggest things we must do, if not the biggest thing, is to go and share our faith. And today we're going to look at it. We've looked at all the other three core values of VIBE, but today really is the heart of absolutely everything. It's evangelism. And here's why it's good news. And I wrote just a few things to help our hearts understand why it's good news. Number one, your life doesn't have to count for nothing. You see, this is why it's good news, because before maybe you're going for your work, relationships, money, you know, all those good things. And then what happens when they're not enough or they're not as good as you hope for or they disappear? Then what, sometimes you can go, well, what's my life really about? What's it for? What am I here for? You can ponder all of those questions. And all of those questions are good as long as it gets you to the right place, which is Jesus is my life. And when we come to him, the good news of the gospel is your life is not for nothing anymore. In fact, your life is for something, and it's valuable and it's important. I also wrote down the eternal destination of your life doesn't have to be hell anymore and lost forever. Now your home is heaven. And this is such good news. And sometimes, again, as Christians, we've got to remind ourselves before we came to faith, before we came to Christ, our eternal destination was hell. And that's horrible, and that's really tough, and that's really bad, and sometimes we don't want to think about it, or even mention it, or maybe even believe it, but it's true, and it's real. But the moment we receive the good news, the moment we put our trust in Jesus, then our eternal destination is changed, our home becomes different, and suddenly our home becomes heaven. That is incredible good news. You're a child of God. You have hope, healing, restoration, and now you know perfect love. And my question is, how incredible is that? It's incredible. It's amazing. It's out of this world. That's why it's called good news. And it's better than any news you've heard before. You'll not hear it on a news channel. You'll not hear it from any other news source. It's from Jesus himself. This is his good news, that he literally came and died in our place, to take the sins that we had created and the sins that were on our lives that wouldn't have allowed us to get into heaven, and suddenly he took them in our place and he died the perfect death so that we could live for him instead. What a wonderful Savior. And really, we've got to remind ourselves of what a privilege it is to go and tell the world about him. Isn't it? Like, what a privilege to be able to go out and not just keep this to yourself, but you're able to say to everybody else, okay, it doesn't run out. Those that have received Jesus doesn't mean that there's one or two less places for everybody else. No, he's a God of unlimited supply. So even though he's your God, he can be their God as well. Even though you find him a Savior, it can be their Savior too. And this is why it's such good news, because he doesn't run out. And whatever he's done in your life or whatever he's done in my life, he can do in other people's lives as well. And this is why it's a privilege. And in actual fact, this is why it's a high honor. And this is why we must not forget how good the news is. Because if we do, we might just keep it to ourselves. If we don't realize just how good the news is, we might just keep it to ourselves. And those that we may love or those we may not even be interested in may never hear of the good news of Jesus. And yet they must, because this news is so good. I tell you, there's a thing that we like to remind ourselves about in VIBE, and that is evangelism is our number one thing. In fact, if you stripped away absolutely every other value, you know, we're so blessed with our worship and our buildings and our people, but if you stripped all of those things away, as long as we still had evangelism, wow, we would have everything. But I tell you, if we ever lose our evangelism, if we ever forget what our point is, and I really want us to think about vibe is an arrow. You know, we've got vision, integrity, boldness, and then we've got this point. I'm trying to make like a pointy ship. And that's really the point. Evangelism is our point. Because what good is integrity if we've got no out for it? What good is our vision if we've got no out for it? What good is our boldness if we're not going to do anything with it? But the moment we take all those three things and we get to evangelism, then it's like, wow, we're people of vision. We're going to reach people with our dreams. We're going to go to our city. We're going to come up with creative ideas. We've got integrity because what you see is what you get. We're not saying we're perfect, but we're going to be open. We're going to be real. We're going to tell you our issues, and we're going to be bold. We're going to be bold to pray. We're going to be bold to believe what it says in the Word of God because we know His Word is powerful, and it does incredible things. And so for us in Vibe, if we don't have a point, then there's no point to Vibe. And I say the same thing over you as a Christian. If there's not a point to your Christian faith, then you are pointless. And the point to all of our Christian faith must be the good news of Jesus, to share the hope and the healing and the transformation and the life that we find with everybody else. Come on, guys, let's just really understand this heart. We have been blessed not just to keep it to ourselves, but to give it away as much as we can. This is incredible good news. If we ever lose our point, then there really is no point to Vibe. In Vibe, we are people on a mission. And we mentioned this verse just a moment or two earlier, but I want to read it to you. Matthew 28:19, it says there, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we just had a baptism night just the other Sunday. It was incredible. If you've never been baptized, then you need to go and get baptized. And if we can do that for you, absolutely, sign up, get in touch, let us know. Or if there's another church you're connected with, go and get baptized. It's powerful. Believer baptism. It's not the same in your kid. It's not the same thing at all. You've got to be a believer to be baptized. That's what we read in the Word. And it's special, significant. And it tells the world that you belong to Jesus. Verse 20, and says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. I think there's an important phrase in here, or there's an important comment that God makes. He says, Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, we recognize Jesus as Savior, and we love to know that He's our best friend. But can I also mention that four-letter word, Lord? And it's always with a capital L because He is the Lord of our lives. And at this point, He's trying to exercise something. He said, guys, I need to take it up a notch. This is not just a good idea. This is not just something I hope you would do. I want to tell you, this is something I actually want to command you to do, to go into all the world and tell them about the love and how. And it almost seems like, should he even need to do it? Because imagine if you were in a relationship. You're the boy, they're the girl, you're married or not, but you're in a serious relationship. If you just spend all of your energy reminding the other person, like, you're supposed to love me. Like, you're supposed to be kind to me. You're supposed to help me. You're supposed to maybe even say it the odd time. If you've to spend your whole time saying that, you question, are we even really in a relationship? And it's the same with the things of God. If God has really touched our hearts, I'm not sure if we need reminded to be commanded, but God knows us, and He knows the inner workings of our hearts, and He knows when we get a good thing, sometimes we forget it. And sometimes when we get a good thing, we become self-conceited, selfish, introverted, just keeping it to ourselves. And He says, guys, I need to remind you, I've commanded you to go into all the world. I've commanded you because there are too many lives at stake, and I love the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So guys, let's not be complacent in our faith. Let's not be shy in our faith, but let's be bold with what God has called us to. Well, in preparing for this message, I found an old message from 2014, which is a period of time. If you know the story of Vibe, we were not a young adult at this point, but we weren't quite a church. And there's an in-between season of 2014 where we're just getting ready to step into the next thing in God. And then God speaks to us and He gives us this word as young adults. And we write it down, that we're to be people that are salt and light. But this next phrase, people that will infiltrate the system, infiltrate the city, which is serious talk. But watch what we wrote. What if God has positioned us in Armagh to take the city and not just try and get the city into this building, the one that we're kind of in right now? What if we're actually here to go? What if we're actually commanded to go into all the world? What if we're actually commanded to go in love and really take a city down with love? Not with hate, not with control, not because of selfish gain, but because we love and because we've got good news message. And this good news message is worth telling every single person in the city. This is the heart of God. And this is what we wrote all those years ago. And here's the prophetic word that God gives. God has a huge plan. He has strategically placed us, and he will cause people to move houses and change jobs, priorities, dreams, destinies, all so we can infiltrate and take a city in love. Wow. And guys, I'm telling you, we have seen this. We've seen people move houses. We've seen people change jobs. We've seen priorities change. We've seen dreams change. We've seen countries change. We've seen destinies change. And we're going in bit by bit. And I tell you, it feels like in this last year or so, we've started to see some of the reward for our labor, some of the fruit for our labors. We've been sowing for years, sowing for years, sowing for years, not getting an awful lot back, but sowing the good seed, which is love, grace, mercy, kindness, the goodness of God. And now suddenly harvest is starting to come. Things are starting to ripen. We've got friends moving from all over the world. Not an exaggeration. Three or four couples have moved from all over the world to be here. It's incredible. Got another girl that's been just talking at the moment, wants to come, just a dream on her heart to come to Ireland. More guys coming from just different parts, even local people, moving houses to come in. God is doing something in Armagh. And if you've never been before, well, I tell you what, it is not the Caribbean. It is not some tropical island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It's none of those things. It's rainy, it's cold, and sometimes there's a bit of sun. Now, it's a good place, but it's not too big. It's not that important. But isn't it incredible when God puts something on the map, then people are drawn to it? When God takes the foolish things of the world and he confines the wise, when God takes the insignificant things and he puts his power to it, and suddenly things are happening. I tell you, we're in a season of a church, as a church right now, as a body of believers, not a building, but as a body of believers, we're just seeing favor upon favor upon favor. It's just door is unlocking and unlocking to us every single which way you look. From business terms to people terms to projects to ideas to creative things, it's incredible. And I ask you to keep praying for us because God is doing something wonderful. And I want to encourage you as well. One exciting thing about being online is that now we have people online that are part of this church. They're part of the body of what we're doing. So you're as much in as we are. There's no difference other than physicality. We're actually in a physical location. But isn't it incredible that our prayers can move heaven? And regardless if we're in the physical location or not, heaven moves on our behalf. So I tell you, keep praying. You are connected and part of what we're doing. And we said people's going to move. And we just thought, and I wrote this down, and we just thought we were just going to start another church and try and get a few people into the building. Oh, no, no. God says, I've not called you here for such a time as this. It's time to go with the good news. It's time to bring it in every form. Well, I want us to look at this verse we just mentioned a moment ago, salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt would lose its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. I want to look at these two key terms, salt and light. And I'll start with the first one, salt. Salt is one of these funny things. Some people like it, some people don't. I think as Christians, sometimes we may prefer not to be salt. We'd rather be sugar because everybody seems to like sugar too much. But back in the days when Jesus spoke this message, it was referring to two main things, or the point of salt was two main things. It was to preserve, number one, and it was to unlock flavor, number two. And we got to think about this just for a moment, because back in, I guess, 2,000 years ago, we're so blessed. You go wake up in the middle of the night, you want a cold drink, go to the fridge. Middle of the day, you want to get a glass of milk, whatever it is, you go to the fridge, you open it up. It's a blessing. But back years ago, there was no such thing as fridges. So the way to preserve meat, because everybody wanted to eat meat, was to get a big tub and put lots of salt in it. And then suddenly you'd be like, wow, we can preserve this meat for weeks, months, even longer. Incredible. So salt preserves. But it also unlocks flavor. And this is where it gets funny. Have you ever had, I don't know, maybe a meal from someone, your mom, your dad, boyfriend, girlfriend, friend, you're in a restaurant, wherever you find yourself, and you go, it's good, but I think it's not just quite that tasty. And either drying it with lots of red sauce, which is what we do a lot here, or you get the salt and you shake the salt on. Because we know one thing about salt, it releases the hidden flavors, it unlocks things. And this is what salt has always done. And I think for us as Christians, we've got to remind ourselves, when we come with the good news, it's not always sugar, it has to be salty. And salt does stuff, it agitates. So I wrote down a couple of things of what it does. Salt stings, but it preserves. You see, sometimes you bring the good news to someone's heart, it might just initially sting a bit because it's not about you. And because what if your life is over tomorrow? And you aren't going to go to heaven automatically. Hell is your place unless you put your trust in Jesus. That stings a bit the first time you initially hear it because we don't like to hear bad news. Maybe it doesn't taste. Salt doesn't taste as good, but it purifies. Again, you might share, and it may not go down just as you hope. And then the other thing about salt, to really get it in on something, if it's about meat and chefs, I'm not a chef, so don't look to me, but you see, they rub the salt in. And sometimes when you're sharing your good news story and what God's done in your life, it can maybe rub some salt in the wounds. It can maybe rub some people up the wrong way. And that's not always nice. And some days I think that's what causes us to shy away a tiny bit from sharing our faith. But I really want us to grab a hold of this boldness today and be bold in sharing our good news. See, some people take it the wrong way, but that's okay. And it's not very sweet, but it keeps things healthy. And we started off that salt preserves and it also unlocks flavor. And really, this is what we're called to be in this world, because we should go to people and tell them about the good news of Christ. And the news that we share has the possibility of preserving their life if they put their life in Jesus. How incredible is that? So our story preserves. Our news preserves. And this is why we've got to get it out there. And then number two, because we know John 10:10, it says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life to the full. That means our lives are not just there to help people find faith, but to unlock their faith fully. So we're to disciple each other, build each other up in the things of God so that you can live a full life, because the potential is inside of you. It just needs unlocked. And no one does that better than Jesus. And he wants to do it through each one of us. Number two, it's light. And light has a lot of properties as well, but there's a couple I'll focus on, which is number one, it reveals things. You ever had that thing in the middle of the night, you just need something, maybe you need a drink or you got a sore head, you need a tablet, and you fumble your way downstairs and you're trying to keep one eye closed and one eye half open because you want to go back to sleep. And then you realize, this is just crazy. I'm going to fall, or maybe you did fall. You can't find what you need. So you just bite the bullet and you say, okay, I'm hitting the light switch. And suddenly what's there is suddenly revealed. Before, you knew it was there, but you just couldn't quite remember. Or maybe you didn't know at all, and then everything gets revealed. So light always reveals things. But number two, it always exposes things. And I think, again, this is why sometimes we're a bit apprehensive of sharing the good news. Because we say to ourselves, well, I don't want to expose that person. I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But here's the bottom line about light. If we haven't got light, we haven't got life. Because without light, it's impossible to grow. Plants know this. Nature knows this. We know this in ourselves. I mean, even there's that seasonal depression where people don't get enough light during the winter months and they start to get depressed. We need light, even the physical light we need, but the world needs the spiritual light that we have. Those that are found in Christ light up the darkness. It isn't even a fair fight. We read about that in the early part of the Gospels. Just like a light switch in a dark room, the minute you hit the switch, the darkness is dispelled. It's the same for us. When we bring that good news and we shine in the darkness, wow, instantly lives are turned around and changed. Now, initially what we might receive is aggression or just like, oh, that's a bit weird. But we know spiritually something has been unlocked, because the moment the good news comes, the moment that light comes, darkness disappears. It isn't even a fight. And I want to just say this. When it comes to our lives, maybe you've got your job. Maybe it's your family, your hobbies, all these different things. You're wondering, what's it all about? Can I just say to you that it is about making money, I guess. It is about providing for your family. It is because it's your family. But what if higher than that, God has positioned us in every single sphere of our lives, in every single place, not just for the benefit of ourselves, but for the benefit of everybody else? Because ours is a public benefit faith. It's one that says, whatever you've got on the inside, now give it away on the outside. And what if he's positioned you literally like a lighthouse, positioned you literally like a hospital, positioned you literally like a signpost to help people to get to Christ? What incredible authority, what incredible position, what incredible responsibility. And yet he's given it to us with grace and with joy, because we don't have to do this in our own strength, but we have to know that we light up the darkness. That is an incredible truth, and I believe it can be breakthrough for some of us today. Well, as we're thinking about all this, I think what's really important is we start to think about, well, what is it that holds me back from sharing the good news? So let me give you four obstacles to evangelism, because I think we got to get real. You know, we want to share our faith, but there are a few things that want to get in the way. And number one I'm going to give you is lack of gospel knowledge. In other words, you say to yourself, look, I don't know enough, so therefore I cannot share my faith. But can I just break it down and make it really easy? You can share your story. And I want you to think of these two things when it comes to lack of gospel knowledge, just to blow it apart. Number one, you can always share your story, and no one can take that from you, because your story is your story. And they can say, no, I don't believe, or I'm not interested in that, but they can never take your story away. And your story is of the goodness of God and what he's done in your life. And whether it be that you've been a great person who accepted Jesus, or you've been the worst person who accepted Jesus, it will always speak, it will always have effect. And the thing about our story is, sometimes we got to write it down. You know, when we go on mission trips, I always say to the guys, write your story down, have it done, so if you do get asked, it's not a big deal. You can just easily do your story. And when it comes to our life, sometimes we're going to share more of our story. Sometimes it's going to be this part, it's that part. But I think if we just prepare it, get it down on the page, sometimes it can make it helpful of when we do get the opportunity to share, we're ready to take it. And for me, I love to think of it in three parts. I love to say before I got saved, when I got saved, and after I got saved. And I love to break it down into equal portions, because sometimes what we do is we tell all about before we got saved, and then when we got saved, it's dramatic, and then afterwards, it's just like, we forget to share. And people want to hear all three parts, so give all three parts equal time and equal measure, because it's all so good of what God has done. And then the second thing is, well, maybe you say to yourself, well, look, I don't know how to share this. I can share my story, but I don't know how to share the gospel story. Can I say to you, you could learn the simple truths of the gospel in 60 seconds or less, and all you've got to do is do a tiny bit of homework. And so I'm going to challenge your heart and say, look, there's a part of this that we can blow out of the water because it's your story, and the other part we can blow out of the water because you can get prepared. It takes 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Study the word, watch a YouTube, get in a book, and write down 2 or 3 verses that's going to allow someone to safely get through to salvation, from the Garden of Eden to sin to the cross to what do I do to receive Jesus in my life. And I tell you what, you're going to come out stronger, more confident, and more ready to share your faith. If we can do this, then we can with boldness hit the first one and say, it's not going to stop me. Number two, and this is where we got to get really real, is apathy. If we're really honest, or if we were to really process our words and not just the right answer, we would say this: I don't really care about the lost. I don't really care about lost people. And I know that you would never give that. If you're a Christian, you'll never give that as a textbook answer. But really, if we searched our hearts, this would be the outcome. Because if we said to ourselves, how often do I pray for the lost? Maybe not that much. Do I have any lost friends? No. And do I prepare, or even am I on the lookout to reach the lost, or to share my good news with the lost? No. And so when we strip it all back, we would never say that we're not interested in the lost, but really it's become a low priority and it's just not a big thing on our minds and on our hearts. But I want to challenge you with a story today, because sometimes you got to remind yourself of how good God is and the wonderful work that he has done in someone's life, because testimonies challenge us. Testimonies remind us of the goodness of God. And I want to just call out a person, just a friend who's sadly not with us anymore, who's now with Jesus, but his name was Stephen. And Stephen came to church for probably 2-3 years on and off, and we got to meet him, and it was such a treasure and such a blessing. But Stephen was one of these guys that most people probably would have passed by, didn't really want to know. He had an addiction. He couldn't beat it a lot of the time. Sometimes he would win. Most of the time he would lose. And he'd been an alcoholic for a large portion of his life. But when he came to this place, we got to love him. We got to encourage. And you know what he found? He found acceptance. But the reason why I share the story is not to say great for us and great for him, but to say this: look, you never know the time and hour where your life's going to be cut short. Stephen's life was cut short. He was a relatively young guy. He should not have died when he died. He had another 40 years to go, another 50 years to go, depending on how long you get. But he had a long life to live. He didn't know he was going to die. But I remember the last time we got to meet each other was about 6 weeks ago. And he said to me after the service, says, Daryl, would you pray with me? I said, absolutely. I think maybe one time in the whole time I'd known him had asked me to pray, but this time I knew it was different. And he said, you pray for me? And I says, hey, what is it I can pray for? He says, look, just pray. And so I just blessed them, asked the favor of God in his life, just thanked him for who he was, and asked them that he would know God's love and experience it today. And at the end of it, he land out his hand, and he went to shake my hand. I says, come on, give me a hug. And Stephen, again, is not one of these guys that probably got an awful lot of hugs from an awful lot of people because of just who he was and the lifestyle that he had found himself in. But I knew it was the right thing to do, and I'm so glad looking back, because a few weeks later, he would no longer be with us. Now, he's in heaven with Jesus, living the best life ever, free from all addiction, no problems ever again. He's found his home in heaven. But what I love about Stephen and the story of Stephen is that you could have passed him by. You could have given up on him. You could have said, well, there's no point worrying about Stephen, and there's no point even getting concerned about Stephen, because he's not the type of guy who's ever going to get saved. But don't let looks deceive you, because he did give his life to Jesus. He still had a battle with what he battled with, and eventually he didn't win, but he did win because he had eternal life with Christ. I want to tell you, remind yourself of the stories, get plugged into stories, read some books about stories of men and women who got saved and gave their life to Christ and came from terrible backgrounds or good ones, but find hope in Jesus. Because remember, the goal is not to think about hell. The goal is to say, how can we get people to heaven? And heaven is the breakthrough. Heaven is the glory spot. Heaven's the place we want to be, but you're not going to get there unless you accept Jesus. And so apathy is something we've got to fight against. Number three is fear. And fear is a real one. And again, I guess we all face this, but sometimes we got to say, look, what have I to fear? What does it matter if my family doesn't like me or if the people around doesn't like me? Because I'm sharing good news, and it's not just news of an upgrade. It's news of an eternity change. It's news of no more hell, now heaven. And so this is why it's so important. And I wrote down just a few things that might paralyze us when it comes to fear, because sometimes you got to face your fear head on to then remind yourself of, come on, it's not that bad. Number one is disliked. You're worried about being disliked. That's a real fear. You're worried about being marginalized. Again, real fear. Laughed at or even openly mocked. And I've experienced that. And I know people have experienced that. And it is no fun whatsoever. But good news, Jesus loves you and he will cause you to overcome. We're afraid we'll lose business or get passed up from the job promotion. This is a legitimate one. I've spoken to many people over the years, and this is a big fear of their lives. I want to share my faith. I want to stand up for my faith, especially in my workplace, but I'm afraid if I do so, then business will count against me. And I want to encourage you that God's for you, and whatever's for you will not go past you. And if God's working all things together for good, then you can trust him. And don't neglect your duty of sharing your faith, because God will work in the midst of that mess. And if it's not for you, he gives you even better. But trust God first, because people are more important than our own pay packets. What if we stop getting invited to kids' parties? I mean, again, a real fear. But can I tell you this? That better to share the good news than to worry about a kid's party. And I guarantee God will take care of everything. But don't let that come to be the thing that stops. What if people start making fun of me as a Christian? What if it makes me seeing my neighbors weird? I just say, so what? Come on. Fear is a liar. But love tells the truth, and our love sets people free. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In spite of all of that stuff, is it not worth it if someone comes to faith? Is it not worth it to get to share our faith, to give someone an opportunity to come to faith? Absolutely, of course. And then number four, lack of compassion. And again, this one seems horrendous. Could you imagine being in a marriage or a relationship, whether it be a romantic one or a best friend's one, and every few minutes the person has to turn around to you and go, hey, could you pretend as if you love me or even like me? It's just not going to last too long. And yet for us as Christians, we have to talk about this, because again, we can become complacent and lack in compassion. And really, I think sometimes what happens is we have forgotten on our wonderful journey of faith, we've forgotten what it was like to be lost. Because God's so good, and the transformation of the Holy Spirit is so incredible and so 180, it's hard for us to remember back the whole way. And so I encourage you today, I'm not saying you got to live in the past, but we've got to remember what was it like to be without Christ. And in some shape or form, Holy Spirit, reveal it to us, not to discourage us, but to remind us with courage of how important it is to share the good news. Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves that people's destination without Jesus is hell. That's eternal suffering. But with him, it's everlasting life. Paul described it like this in Romans chapter 9, verse 3. And in a lot of ways, it's so foreign to us, but it speaks so much truth. He said, for my people, and he was speaking about the Jews. He says, my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if it would save them. Romans 9, chapter 3, he says, for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if it would save them. What an incredible motivation of heart. Now, this is not true. You can't be cut off from Christ. If you're in Christ, then you're a new creation. You can't go backwards. But he said, if it would work, if it could work, I would do it because this is the motivation of my heart. I would rather lose my salvation than see all my brothers and sisters never come to faith. And he meant the Jewish brothers and sisters, not just his natural ones, his earthly ones. Guys, what a heart, what a motivation. Jesus, give me that spirit. Jesus, give me that heart. Now, here's my good news as we're coming to a finish today. This is not who we're going to be, amen? This is not who we're going to be. We're going to be a different people because I want to tell you something. I've got a dream. Martin Luther King said way back in the 60s, he had a dream. But we've got a dream, and we've been dreaming this thing for a long time in Vibe because it's now 16 years old. We'll be 17 years old in a few weeks' time as a church, 16 years old from the start of our young adults ministry, and the dream has always been the same. We do not want to be ashamed of our faith. We want to be bold in our faith. And we're dreaming of a day that we would see people that have got saved and love Jesus, and fear is not their first thought, but it's faith. And fear is not the thing that disables them, but it's love that enables them. And they're going strong in the things of God, and they believe in raising the dead, and they believe in healing the sick, and they believe in praying big prayers and trusting God that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. What would it look like if we had some people in schools, and instead of being the minority and full of fear, they started to become the majority, and the Christians started to become schools from the Christians from the inside out? What would it look like for our kids in years to come, instead of like ourselves went to school and were fearful to be Christians, that they could step into school boldly? Either they were the majority or they were a minority, but they stepped in boldly because they've been around giant killers, and we've become those giant killers. And I want to tell you guys, if we don't do this thing, then the same fears ripple on down through the generations. But if we would stand our ground and set a new culture, then suddenly everything begins to change. And this is my dream, that we are people of vision, integrity, boldness, and evangelism, and we have a point, and we get to the point, and we see people come to point. We come to the point in Christ and come to faith in Christ and find that newness of life. And instead of following suit, they go above the rest of us. And every person goes a tiny bit more. Every person goes a tiny bit further because we've set the culture of anything's possible. Nothing's impossible to those who believe in Christ. If we faith as small as a mustard seed, we will see mountains move. And if we can trust him and believe in him, wow, anything's going to happen. Guys, I want to encourage your heart today. We've got a dream and we are going to see it. Lost people finding Christ every day. Schools becoming a majority of Christian, not a minority. Our young people, our young adults, our kids standing up for Christ, our kids going round the mile and seeing people set free and healed as they would lay hands on them and see them recovered because they're not growing up trying to learn it in their 20s. They've learned it from birth. Guys, this is the culture that we're setting, and how we're going to get there is we're going to win them one by one. W-O-N by O-N-E. How are we going to see our nations transformed? How are we going to see our families transformed? Because we're going to get into authentic relationships. We're going to do it together. We're going to get committed. We're going to get together with each other. We're going to stay friends with each other. And we're going to walk this thing out. And bit by bit, day after day, the person's going to go, what is it that you have? Tell me what's going on in your life. And you know what? We're going to have highs and lows, because even as Christians, we have highs and lows. But as we're real, authentic, and honest, people will say, come on, tell me what it is that sets you different than me. And we will share the good news of Christ, and many will come to faith. I tell you what, it's going to come like a tidal wave. It's going to come like a flood, but it's not going to come as you spectate. It's going to come as you participate. Come on, you got to know this. And so I'm calling us together, and I'm calling us to long-term commitment, because you know what we've seen in Armagh, and it feels like things have just changed. We've been sowing seeds for 16, 15 plus years. We've been sowing seeds as a church for the last 6 plus years, even longer, because we were doing it before we even formed the church. But I believe that things are turning around, and it's just about to break, and we're getting prophetic word after prophetic word. And I tell you, we're on the move again as a church. There is property being brought back into our laps again. There is opportunities being brought back into our laps. We feel like we can go and bless other churches and help them with both a digital side of things to, you know, administrative side of things to ministry side of things. God is doing things and he's progressing things. And I tell you what, watch this space over these next 2 years. It's about to explode. But guys, I got to urge you, we are going to need you, because God has decided now is the time. And we've been sowing and sowing and sowing, but we're about to reap. We're about to reap in a way that we've never reaped before. And I need to encourage your heart. Let's get stuck into this thing. You know, we got to be authentic people that are right there in real relationships with our co coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, our families, our strangers, whoever. And we're going to stand up now and we're going to say, okay, my life and my relationship with God has to have a point. And the ultimate point of my relationship is not to know the worship songs and not just to know the word of God and not just be able to pray powerfully, but to get to the point and share the good news of Christ in every aspect of my life. So we're going to pray today. And guys, we're going to pray that we're going to take a stand for this thing in our hearts, in our lives, in our workplaces. Because if we're going to be real for Christ and we're going to invite people to church and we're going to share the good news, we've got to know some people. And unfortunately, so many of us don't know anybody outside of our Christian friend circle. So we're going to pray with wisdom that God's going to give us people and that people are already in our lives. We're going to take braver opportunities in our workplaces, on the bus, as we commute to work, in school, in university, wherever we find ourselves. And we're going to be bold. I heard of a story just the other day and I share it because it's from one of the loves of my life, Bethany. And Nikki told me the story that just the other day, her and her friend, they started to pray because they were worried about things in Ukraine. They were worried about things in their school and people not knowing about Jesus. So Bethany turns around to her friend and says, we should just pray right now. And her and her friend began to pray in the playground. I wish I could say that that was my testimony. I was so concerned with playing football and scoring goals, I never thought to do something like that. In fact, I would have been too ashamed to. God has already given us the desires of our heart. He's already birthed it in our kids. I'm telling you guys, we are here to change things and we're going to take a city. We're going to infiltrate it from the ground up with love, grace, and compassion. And we're going to do that by going one by one, authentic relationships with the people around us. Come on, let's pray today. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And again, I pray for anybody who doesn't know you. Romans 10 states that if we would believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, then we would be saved. Lord, I pray today for your favor and boldness. I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage every heart. And I pray if we're far from you or don't know you, let us put our trust in Jesus because he's incredible. Lord, I pray for your favor on people's lives today. I pray right now if we need that, we're saying yes to you. And I pray with boldness we will do that so we agree yes to Jesus. Lord, I pray for Christians today. I pray for those that have known you and walked with you for a number of years. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come and remind us of your favor and your blessing and encourage us forward in the things of God to say yes and to share the good news and to bring the good news wherever we find ourselves because we have the best news in the world. Jesus, speak to every heart, speak to every life in your precious, beautiful name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much. And again, I encourage you, if this has spoken to you or helped you or you need some help, get in touch with us. hello@vibeandi.com. We would love to help you. Please pass it on. This is such good news. This was our four core values, vision, integrity, boldness, and evangelism. The funny story is it took us multiple times to record this message. So we're glad to have got there in the end. But we know that it's so important because as the people of Vibe, if we don't stay true to our mission, we're never going to get to where God's calling us to. We've got exciting things coming up. I encourage you to enjoy this last worship song. Allow the Lord to speak to your heart and keep going forward in the things of God. Praise the Lord.